flicked back and forth between Chase and my iPhone. He wasn't going to give me any privacy. "Excuse me, one second," I swiped and answered. "Hello? Yes, I'm almost done. Why don't I meet you there?" "Okay. See you in a half hour."
"Date?"
"I'm meeting Bryant for drinks." Chase's jaw tightened. He nodded.
"Have a good night, Buttercup."
Chapter 8. Reese. I had sex on the brain. It just wasn't Bryant I wanted to have it with. We'd had two drinks. I told him all about my new job, and he actually listened. Now, we were sitting at the bar, and he put his hand on my knee.
"I was thinking, how about we go down to the Jersey Shore this weekend? A weekend on the beach, dinner at a shack that sells cold beer and clams by the bucket. My friend has a place down in Long Beach Island, and he isn't using it this weekend."
I loved the beach, and a clam bar and beer was totally my thing. Yet, I was hesitant to commit on the spot for some reason. I needed time to think about it a little more. "Can I get back to you in a day or two? We just started this big project I'm working on, and they may expect me to come in over the weekend. I'm not really sure yet." As usual, Bryant was a good sport.
"Sure. Of course."
We called it an early night after that, since both of us were early risers. Back at my apartment, Tallulah, that damn ugly cat, scared the crap out of me when I walked in. The sound of my collection of deadbolts unlocking had become her personal Pavlovian call to action. The living room was dark, except for two bright green globes staring directly at me. She was perched on the top of the back of the couch, waiting for me when I flicked on the lights. "God, you really are ugly as sin." I know, you can't help it." I scratched my fingernails on her back. It felt so odd without any fur. "How about if I get you one of those little cat sweaters? Maybe something sleek-looking and black? Or maybe something with faux fur on it, huh? Would you like that, ugly girl? You need some fur for this butterball-looking body." I carried her with me as I did my daily entry ritual, opening all the closets and doors, checking behind the curtains and under the bed. Finding all clear, I took a quick shower, moisturized my body, and climbed into bed. Tallulah hopped up and planted herself on the pillow next to me. After a 14-hour day at a new job, followed by two martinis, I should have been tired. But I wasn't. I was horny. My problem could have been easily remedied. I was certain all I had to do was invite Bryant back to my place and he would have gladly taken care of my needs. Yet I chose to be alone. Tallulah purred next to me, then hit me in the face with her paw. When I ignored her, she did it again. The second time, I took a paw to the nose. Giving in, I reached over and scratched her fleshy pink belly again. She rolled on her back to give me full access. With her paws drawn and bent at her sides, her arms and legs looked like wings. She really did look like an uncooked turkey. Reaching over to my nightstand, I grabbed my phone and snapped a couple of pictures I intended to email to my mother in the morning. But then I remembered the message Chase had sent me the other night about Tallulah. I typed out a text, attaching the photo of Tallulah on her back. "Reese. Pretty sure her twin is a butterball in a grocery freezer somewhere." It had been less than a minute when my phone buzzed with an incoming text. "Chase." I flipped my phone around a few times before I realized what I was looking at.
That is seriously one ugly pussy. Reese. LOL. Who has taken over half my bed? She's also very demanding and keeps pawing me in the face if I stop scratching her. Chase. Just you two sharing that big bed tonight? He knew I'd been meeting Bryant after I left the office. Reese. Yep. Just me and my ugly kitty. Chase. Good to know. Reese. Well, sweet dreams. Chase. You can count on it now. Night, Buttercup. My best friend Jules and I met for coffee the next morning before work. It had been the longest I'd gone without seeing her since we both started at Fresh Look on the same day 7 years ago. The place sucks without you, she pouted as we sat near the window with our coffees. Of course it does. You have no one to gossip with. I had lunch with Ina from Media Relations the other day and told her about a new vibrator I bought. I'm pretty sure I scared her away for life. Some people are uptight about sharing that type of information. She shrugged. Jules was the most open and non-uptight person I'd ever met. Her parents were actual hippies, and she grew up with the share-the-love vibe in her house. Once, she told me her parents had separate bedrooms for when the other had company. Sharing highlights about your new vibrator purchase seems tame when you grew up with your parents sharing partners. Well, not that you need it since you have Bryant now, but Love Honey just came out with a new triple whammy Jessica Rabbit, and it's seriously better than my last two partners. It actually finds your clit. I'll have to check it out. Don't tell me Brian's a dud. I sipped my coffee. Wouldn't know. Haven't slept with him yet. But he's pretty attentive in general, so that's a good sign, I suppose. Just not feeling it with him, or is something else going on? The fact that my mind immediately went to Chase made it clear it was more about something else than it was about Bryant. Someone else, actually. He's great. He really is. But? I don't know. Something has been holding me back from taking our relationship to the next level. Something? Or someone? Jules knew me too well. Remember that guy I told you about who I met at the restaurant on my date with Martin?
The hot one who made up all the stories?
That's the one. I sort of ran into him again.
Sort of?
Well, I've run into him a few times.
Where?
I hesitated and then responded with a question, as if I were trying out the response. In the office?
Jules put her coffee down on the table between us.
He works at the new office.
You've got to be kidding me. You know what happened last time you had sex with a coworker. Chase isn't exactly a coworker.
Just as I said the words, my boss walked into the coffee shop. Well, technically he wasn't my boss. He was my boss's boss. I wasn't sure if that made it better or worse. Worse, I'm sure. Jules and I were in the corner, so I hoped maybe Chase wouldn't see us. Not that I didn't enjoy looking at the man every time an opportunity came my way, but I knew Jules wouldn't be discreet. He walked in, stood in line, and within seconds turned and scanned the room. I briefly wondered if he was looking for me. Although I didn't have time to deliberate long because suddenly he was headed right toward us. Unlike my first day when I'd run into him here, this morning he was already dressed in a suit. And shit, he looked even hotter than usual. His hair was still wet and mussed in that way that said he didn't give a shit. And it worked for him. by setting him apart from the other suit-wearing, slicked-back-haired men. He had on a French blue dress shirt and a tie of the same color, only darker. It hung untied around his neck, like he'd thrown it on and run out the door in a rush. There was zero doubt in my mind that his shirt was custom-made, the way it stretched across his wide chest. Fitted, yet not too tight. It hinted at the carved lines I knew were below, but didn't flaunt them on full display. While I was discreet in checking him out as he walked over, Jules's eyes lit up, and she openly ogled.
"Morning."
He smiled at me and nodded to Jules.
"How'd you and Ugly Kitty make out last night? She let you get some sleep."
"She did. Might have to keep her as a bedmate."
"Shame."
Jules quirked an eyebrow.
"Ugly Kitty? And who is this handsome man speaking to us?"
Like I said, Jules came from a very open house. She had no filter. If she thought it, it slid right down a steep slide from her brain and popped out her pink-painted lips. Chase blessed us with his full, megawatt, dimpled smile and extended his hand down to Jules.
"Chase Parker. Reese and I worked together."
Jules turned to me, bug-eyed.
"Chase? As in, Chase, who we were just talking about?"
Chase raised an eyebrow.
"All good, I hope."
"Look at you! What could possibly be bad?"
she said. Chase chuckled and shook his head.
"You ladies want a refill. I have an early meeting I need to run to after I get my caffeine fix."
"I think we're good, but thanks."
"See you in the office later, then."
"Highlight of my day," I teased. Chase was barely out of earshot when Jules started in. She held up her hand, showing me her palm.
"No need to explain why you've lost interest in Bryant.
That man is delicious."
"You know my theory that handsome men aren't as good in bed as the non-handsome crowd because they've never had to work for it hard enough?"
"Yes, what about it?" "One look at that man, and I can tell you, he's the exception."
"You know he's good in bed just by looking at him and that short conversation?"
She put on a serious face.
"Without a shadow of a doubt, I do."
Jules was nutty, but I tended to agree with her. I knew from Chase's personality that he would perfect anything he focused on. He was also naturally aggressive, which I was certain would translate into dominant in bed. I sighed. "He's really smart, too."
"Poor guy. Gorgeous, smart, and good in bed? What does he do with the new job?"
"Let me guess. Sales.
Whatever he's selling, I'm buying."
"I guess you could say he does a little of everything." Jules thought she understood. She shook her head.
"Admin assistant? That's okay. You have a good job. You can be his sugar mama."
"He's actually the CEO. Chase Parker owns Parker Industries, and not in the same way that sleazy Derek Eichmann will someday own Fresh Look. Chase is self-made. He invented most of the products the company sells, and he runs the company himself."
"Oh, Jesus. All right, let me think."
She tapped her pointer finger to her chin a few times.
"So, you obviously shouldn't sleep with him, because we know how that can turn out from your little moment of temporary insanity with Derek. But there is absolutely no reason whatsoever that I shouldn't hop in the sack with that pimped ride."
Jules wiggled her eyebrows.
"Pimped ride?
I'm trying a new phrase on for size. How's it working?"
"It's not."
"Well,
this could work out for both of us. Actually, it works for four of us.
think about it. If I sleep with him, you'll think it's too weird to sleep with him, too. You're not the kind of person who can explore where your friends have already planted their flags. So he'll mentally become off-limits to you. Eventually, you'll look at him like art you admire instead of a steak you want to eat, and that will free up your appetite for other food, like Bryant. That will make both you and Bryant happy. And, of course, Chase and I are going to be extremely happy because we will both have had the best sex of our lives. She shrugged. Problem solved. You're welcome. I laughed. I really do miss having you around all the time. Me too. It really sucks without you. Someday, we need to start our own advertising firm. We'll only hire powerful women as management and hot men as assistants.
Sounds like a plan to me.
So, what are you going to do with Bryant and Boss Man? I need to give things a real try with Bryant. My dating life hasn't exactly been full of eligible bachelors. I've had one relationship that lasted more than 2 months in the last 5 years. And you know how that ended. Alec was a nice guy, but he was still so hung up on his ex that he called me Allison every time we were in bed. Usually during his grand finale. I sighed. Bryant really seems to be a great guy without baggage. I should just sleep with him and get it over with. Now that sounds like how I'd want the person I was dating to think of having sex with me for the first time. Get it over with.
Chapter 9. Chase. 7 years ago. Eddie had been missing from his usual spot for 3 days. After lunch, Peyton made me walk around the neighborhood with her to see if he'd turned up yet. I had a bad feeling after seeing that gash on his head last week. Peyton must have, too. As we rounded the corner, a sense of relief came over me when I saw him. Only, he wasn't alone. He was being hassled by 2 cops. The taller one, Officer Canatali, according to the badge on his puffed-out chest, had just kicked Eddie's feet. "Afternoon, officers," I called. "New beat?" The cop, who wasn't much older than me, gave Peyton a leering once-over, then squared his shoulders and widened his stance. "You got a problem?" "No problem. Just usually see Officer Conley around this block. I work around the corner." I tilted my head to Eddie. "This is Eddie." Peyton added, "Eddie is a friend of mine. I volunteer over at Little East Open Kitchen. It's a local food bank on..." "I know where it is. Little thing like yourself shouldn't be around these types of people. They're dangerous. You could get hurt." I closed my eyes, knowing how Peyton was about to respond. "They're dangerous? Don't you think that's kind of a generalized statement? It's no different than talking about Italians and saying they're all a bunch of mobsters, Officer Canatali." I tried to temper where the conversation was heading. "Eddie here has been getting hassled by some teenagers lately. That's how he got that gash there on his head. Peyton went down to the precinct to report it, but nothing was done about it. Yet another reason why you shouldn't be hanging out here on the street. We were just telling him it was time to move on for today. Sergeant wants the street cleaned up." The cop kicked Eddie's foot again, and Eddie's leg recoiled as he balled himself into a position to protect his head. "Eddie doesn't like to be touched. He prefers people to keep a few feet away." "So do I. That's why I don't sit on the sidewalk where someone will physically remove me if I don't get up." "Rookie asshole." "Come on, Eddie. Come with me." Peyton extended her hand. Eddie looked at me, then the officers, then back to me before taking her hand to get up. He lifted his black garbage bag over his shoulder. The bag was bulging, and after 2 steps, a small hole in the bottom spread wide, and everything he owned began to spill onto the sidewalk. The impatient policeman started to complain. They had no compassion. Peyton had her guitar case slung over her shoulder, and she kneeled down, setting it on the sidewalk, and removed the instrument. "Here, Eddie, use this. The case just made it heavy anyway." She slipped the guitar strap over her shoulder, and Eddie eventually bent and stuffed everything into her case. As we walked back toward my office, I whispered to Peyton, "What are we going to do with him?" She shrugged and gave me that sweet smile I could never resist. "I don't know, but there's plenty of room in that big new office of yours."
Chapter 10. Reese. I was busy with work the entire day, although that didn't keep me from thinking about the boss at random times. It sort of helped to break my day into segments. Work on a tagline for Divine, daydream about the boss. Research SEO keywords. Daydream about the boss. Lunch. Daydream about the boss. No wonder I was still at work at 8 o'clock with all the time I'd slacked off. When footsteps approached my door, my pulse quickened, anticipating it might be Chase. I hid my disappointment by being extra bubbly. "Hi, Josh."
"Burning the midnight oil again, huh?"
"I'm playing catch-up with so many things, and I want to be able to participate. Your team is incredible. They know these products inside out."
"They are pretty great. But sometimes a fresh look at things wins out over experience. Chase told me 2 out of the 3 concepts we're working with originated from you."
"It was a team effort." He smiled warmly.
"Gonna head out. Don't stay too late."
"I won't." Just as he turned away, I thought of something I kept forgetting to ask. "Hey, Josh, do you think we'll work this weekend? Friend asked me to go away for the weekend, but I wasn't sure if you planned to come in or not. Lindsay mentioned that sometimes the team works weekends when they have a big project going on."
"I don't think so, but I'll check with Chase tomorrow, see if he has any plans. He likes to get us out of the office when we do weekend brainstorming sessions."
"Okay, thanks. Have a good night." A few minutes later, I was shutting down my laptop and packing up my desk when Chase walked in. He was in gym clothes, loose shorts, and a faded Mets t-shirt. God, he looks sexy. I was beginning to realize I thought the man looked good in anything.
"You wear that t-shirt around Samantha?" "I wear this t-shirt because of Sam. Drives her nuts."
"You two have an interesting dynamic, that's for sure."
"How was the rest of your coffee with your friend? You two talk about me some more after I left?"
"I was just telling her the story of how we met. That was all. Don't let it go to your head." Of course, what we were discussing would have inflated his ego, but he really didn't need to know that.
"That's disappointing. Was hoping maybe you were telling her how hot you thought your boss was."
"Josh is handsome, although I'm not really the Adrian Brody type myself."
"Smartass."
"You heading to the gym?"
"Yeah. Didn't get a chance to run this morning because of that early meeting I had. You heading out?"
"Yep. Home to ugly Kitty. I think she gets pissed when I leave her alone for too many hours. She waits for me near the door and scares the shit out of me with her glowing green eyes." Chase tapped his finger against the door jamb like he was considering something.
"No Brian tonight?"
"Bryant. And no, not tonight. Just me and ugly Kitty." The mention of Bryant reminded me of this weekend again. "By the way, do you know yet if you're planning on working this weekend?"
"Working this weekend?"
"The marketing department, I mean. Lindsay said sometimes during a big project, everyone will go off-site for brainstorming."
"I haven't talked about it yet."
"Okay."
"You have plans this weekend or something?"
"Not really. Well, sort of. A friend asked me if I was free." He stared at me for a few seconds, then squinted.
"Anything good?"
"Long Beach Island." I was pretty sure he really wanted to know whether my plans were with Bryant, but I intentionally kept being vague, and he intentionally kept prodding. It was almost like a game.
Got a house there?
No. Friend of a friend sort of thing. He squinted again, staring at me, but I still didn't give in.
Girls' weekend?
I shook my head. He nodded.
See you in the morning. Don't stay too late.
Okay. Good night. Chase turned like he was going to leave, then turned back.
On second thought, you know what? I think we do need to work this weekend.
I smiled brightly, although I wasn't sure why the hell I was smiling when he just put the kibosh on my weekend at the beach. Maybe because I didn't really want to go with Bryant. Or maybe because the thought of working with Chase all weekend was more exciting than a romantic beach weekend with the guy I was dating. Either way, I was looking forward to working a little too much. After I left the office that night, I stopped at the restaurant a few doors down and picked up a meatball parm hero, knowing I'd be too lazy to cook when I got home. Between the long hours at the office, late-night meals, and skipping the gym, I was definitely going to gain weight if I didn't do something about it. Maybe I should join a new gym? Iron Horse was nice, and Bryant would probably like it if I joined. But who would I be kidding? Myself? I already spent half the day glancing up to spot a certain someone around the office. I sure as hell didn't need any more distractions from that man. My phone buzzed as I crossed the street on the way to my subway station. Bryant's name flashed on the screen. Knowing I only had a minute before I lost service, I hit ignore, figuring I would call him back when I got home. Outside of my train station, a man with longish gray hair sat on the concrete. He had a long beard to match. His skin was dark and leathery, likely from long hours baking in the sun. But it was the light blue of his eyes that caught my attention when he looked up. I have no idea why. Even though I knew he was obviously homeless, he didn't look like someone who was supposed to be homeless. He seemed soft and sad, rather than drunk or scary like a lot of the people I'd learned to speed past growing up in New York City. He had a guitar case sitting next to him with the lid open, but it was filled with piles of neatly organized clothing. I offered a smile and kept going. He returned the smile, but quickly looked away like he wasn't supposed to be looking at me. Halfway down the subway stairs, I remembered my giant meatball hero. Walking back up, I split it in two and gave half to the man with the sad blue eyes. He smiled gratefully and nodded. It felt good, and my ass certainly didn't need an entire hero. Chapter 11. Reese. I'd forgotten how much I loved happy hour. Jules and I used to do it every Thursday night when we first started at Fresh Look, but as time went by, one of us was always working late. We'd apologize and promise to do it the following week, but then the other person would be on deadline and not be able to go. Eventually, we just stopped even trying to make plans. But the employees at Parker Industries made time for happy hour, and I'd managed to leave the office at a reasonable hour, too. Lindsay was another brand manager in the marketing department, and we'd hit it off on my first day. We were sitting at a bar, drinking Godiva chocolate martinis and enjoying the free appetizers as she filled me in on all the office gossip. "And Karen in payroll is engaged to a guy who used to be in porn." Porn? It was soft stuff, but if you want to see his dick, just Google John Summers. It would be really weird to Google someone in the office's fiancé to look at him naked. Lindsay crinkled up her nose.
It's not circumcised. It's really ugly. But it's huge. She held out her hands nearly 12 inches apart. Like a baseball bat. Now, every time I look at her, I can't stop wondering how that thing fits. I mean, she's so tiny.
You need to meet my friend Jules. It's uncanny how much you remind me of her.
Lindsay tossed back the rest of her martini and held the empty glass up for the bartender.
So, tell me about you. Boyfriend, husband, sister-wife? What's going on in your life?
Answering should have been easier. I've been on 4 dates with a guy who's really sweet. We talk almost every day.
Really sweet, huh? Are you exclusive?
Huh? Are we? We haven't really talked about it, but I haven't been dating anyone else.
The bartender came by with a shaker and refilled both our glasses. Lindsay eyed me over the top of hers as she sipped.
You're not that into him.
What makes you say that?
You didn't perk up when you talked about him. You described him as sweet. You aren't sure if you're exclusive, and it seems like 30 seconds ago was the first time you'd even considered the question. That means you don't care if he isn't.
She shrugged and said pointedly,
"You're not that into him."
I exhaled a deep breath.
I think you're right. He's great. He really is, but there's just something missing. Can't force it.
She was right. Although the thought of breaking things off with a guy like Bryant, one who didn't come along that often in New York City, was pretty depressing. I needed to think about something else.
Tell me more gossip. What about Samantha? She's pretty much what you see. Been with the company about 4 years now, I think. Married. No kids, that I'm aware of. She and Chase go way back. I heard a rumor that she was best friends with his girlfriend who died.
His girlfriend died?
Yep. Years ago. I think she was only 21 at the time.
Lindsay shook her head.
Tragic.
How did she die? Was she sick or something?
Some sort of an accident, I think. It was before I started. But I heard Chase was screwed up for a long time. It's why he licensed all his products originally instead of distributing them himself. A lot of those licenses are expiring, and that's why we're marketing some of the products for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. He seems really good now, though. He's usually in a good mood, anyway.
Lindsay grinned.
But I would be, too, if I got up every morning and looked at that face. The man is obscenely hot. If you're into that sort of thing, that is.
I laughed.
Not your type?
Apparently, I like my men balding with a beer belly and propensity to be unemployed. I've been with Al since I was 16.
He's gained some weight, huh?
She snorted.
Actually, no. He's pretty much always looked the same way, but the man thinks I walk on water for reasons I'll never understand.
Treats me like a princess.
Good for you. A couple of people from sales came into the bar and joined us, effectively ending my gossip session with Lindsay. After that, we mingled, and I got to meet a few new people. But I couldn't stop thinking about what I'd learned about Chase. He'd lost someone. Something like that had to have a big impact on your life, no matter how smart and well-adjusted you were. Even if it didn't break you, it left cracks and tiny fissures that could never be repaired. Although the bar had grown busier by 9, the office crowd had begun to thin out. Lindsay went home, and there was only one other person from marketing left. It was time to call it a night. I attempted to get the bartender's attention, but she was swamped down at the other end of the bar. A man who'd clearly been overserved squeezed in next to me and tried to strike up a conversation while standing too close.
"Is that your real hair color?"
he asked.
"Don't you know you're never supposed to ask a woman her age, weight, or if she dyes her hair?"
Didn't know that.
He swayed back and forth.
So, asking for a phone number is okay?
I attempted to be polite. I suppose, if she isn't married and seems interested. Feeling the need to escape, I tried again to get the bartender's attention so I could close my tab. She held up her hand to let me know she'd seen me, but she was still busy making drinks at the other end of the bar. They really needed another bartender with this crowd. Since I was stuck standing there, drunk, I assumed that meant I was interested.
What's your name, Red?
He reached out and touched my hair. Please, don't touch me. He raised his hands in mock surrender.
You like women or something?
This guy was amusing. For the first time since he'd walked over, I finally gave him my full attention, turning my body to face him before answering. You assume I like women just because I don't want you to touch me? He ignored me.
Let me buy you a drink, pretty girl.
No, thanks. He leaned in closer, wobbling as he spoke.
You're feisty. I like that. The red hair must be real.
A voice from behind me caught me by surprise.
Go stand somewhere else.
Chase's voice was low but stern. He took a step and partially inserted himself between us, facing the drunk.
I saw her first,
the man whined.
I don't think so, buddy. I sucked her face in middle school. Take a hike.
The drunk grumbled something, but staggered away. Chase turned to face me, standing in his place. Wow, much better view. Thank you. Polite wasn't working. Of course, as soon as the drunk was no longer a problem, the bartender came to settle my tab. What can I get you, Chase? Or maybe not.
I'll take a Sam Adams.
She turned to me. You want me to close out your tab, right?
You're leaving. I just got here. You have to have one drink with me.
I wanted to. I really wanted to, but I knew I should probably go. Chase read the hesitation on my face.
Close her tab. Bring another of whatever she's drinking and put it on my tab. We're going to move to a table where it's quieter.
The bartender took his direction, and I shook my head even though I was smiling. No one ever says no to you, do they? I asked.
Not if I have anything to say about it.
A minute later, Chase had both of our drinks in one hand and used the other to guide me toward a quiet table in the back. Once settled, he sipped his beer, watching me over the bottle.
Thanks for the invite tonight, by the way.
I stopped with my drink midway to my lips. I didn't even know everyone went out on Thursday nights. I'm the new girl. You could have told me about it.
Tried to. Came by your office, but you were already gone.
I'd actually sat at my desk and thought about stopping by Chase's office to mention everyone was going for drinks. But in my head, it had felt like I would be asking him for more than just joining a group for happy hour. Well, we're both here now, I said. You worked pretty late tonight.
I had dinner plans, actually.
His answer made me feel anxious, and maybe a teeny bit jealous. Oh. I felt him staring at me, yet avoided his eyes as I stirred my drink. When I finally looked up, his eyes searched for something in mine.
With my sister. Not a date. It's a regular weekly thing.
I wasn't asking.
No, you didn't ask, but you were disappointed when I said I had dinner plans.
I was not.
Looked that way to me.
I think your conceitedness clouds your judgment of what you see sometimes.
Is that so?
It is.
So it wouldn't stir any feelings inside of you if I told you I was late because I was busy fucking someone.
my jaw clenched, but I forced a mask onto my face and shrugged. Not at all. Why would it bother me? You're my boss, not my boyfriend. Surprising me, Chase dropped it and changed the subject.
So, how do you like it so far at Parker Industries?
I love it, actually. It reminds me a lot of when I first started at Fresh Look. Everyone is so open-minded and in touch with the people who actually use the products. Even though Fresh Look is a smaller company than Parker, it took on investors over the years, and they began to control more and more of how Fresh Look marketed. Eventually, management started to lose sight of who we were marketing to. The board of directors or the women who use the cosmetics? Chase nodded like he understood.
There's definitely a trade-off when you go outside for money. Control isn't something I ever want to give up again. It would drive me crazy to have to answer to a bunch of suits who didn't have a clue about what's important to the women who buy my products. Is that why you left? Because you lost your ability to market the way you believed it needed to be done?
I wish I could say it was. But I honestly didn't realize how restrained I'd felt until this week with Josh and his team. Chase stared at me for several seconds.
Sometimes you don't know what you're missing until you find it.
I knew, by the way my body reacted to watching his Adam's apple bob up and down, that I was in trouble if I didn't redirect our conversation. I cleared my throat and blinked to disconnect my eyes from his neck. So, how was dinner with your sister?
She's very pregnant. All she talked about was hemorrhoids and leaking breasts. I lost my appetite.
I laughed. Is this her first?
I'm pretty sure she thinks it's the world's first baby being born. I could see the pain in her husband's eyes as she talked tonight.
I'm sure she isn't that bad.
Over dinner, she yelled at him for breathing too loud. Breathing. He also wasn't allowed to order sushi at the Japanese restaurant we went to because she can't have it.
I can't tell if you're making that up or not, considering your propensity for telling random stories.
Sadly enough for my brother-in-law, I'm telling the truth.
Does your sister live here in the city?
Upper East Side. Moved from downtown near her husband's job last year to be closer to her job at the Guggenheim. Now, she can walk to the museum in 3 minutes, and her husband's commute is 3 times as long as it was. So, of course, she quit her job as soon as she found out she was pregnant.
You're being hard on her.
She sure as shit makes it easy.
He finished the rest of his beer.
I'm going to grab another one. You ready for a refill?
I probably shouldn't. He grinned.
One refill, coming right up.
While he was off getting our drinks, I sat pondering who exactly Chase Parker was. I'd never met a man quite like him before. He was someone I couldn't put my finger on. He didn't seem to fit into any one box. A businessman who ran a massively successful company, yet he looked more like a rock star with his shaggy hair and frequent 5 o'clock shadow. Custom-tailored, conservative suits covered a carved body and pierced nipple. He dated buxom blondes and joined strangers for dinner, yet had a standing weekly date with his sister. Even without factoring in what I'd learned tonight from Lindsay, the man was a complex package. He returned a few minutes later with drinks in hand.
Miss me?
Yes. Were you gone?
So where is Becker tonight?
Bryant. And I'm not sure. We didn't have plans. I suppose he's home.
Tell me about him.
Why?
I don't know. I'm curious, I guess. I'm wondering what kind of a man you're interested in.
You? What do you want to know?
What does he do for a living?
He's in financial services, manages mutual funds and stuff.
What's his favorite movie?
I have no idea.
We haven't been seeing each other that long.
Does he snore?
He tried to hide his sneaky grin. Does Bridget? I countered.
I wouldn't know. She hasn't been in my bed. Then again, I'm sure I wouldn't know if you snored, even if you were in my bed.
Why is that? You're a sound sleeper or something?
You wouldn't be sleeping.
I laughed. I walked right into that, didn't I?
You should get rid of Baxter and walk right into my bedroom.
Why was I laughing when he just told me to dump the guy I was dating and hop in his bed? This man made me lose all sense of judgment. So, any other siblings besides your pregnant one? I asked.
If you're trying to cool me off, that's one way to do it. Mention Anna.
I sipped my drink. Good to know.
It's just me and Prego. How about you? Any brothers or sisters?
Just one. Owen. He's a year older, lives in Connecticut, not too far away from my parents.
You too close.
We don't get to have dinner once a week, but yes, I like to think we're close. Owen's deaf, so it's not as easy as picking up the phone to actually talk, but we text all the time. And we do Face Connect, where we can type and see each other. When we were younger, we were inseparable.
Wow. Do you know sign language or anything?
Not really. Owen lost his hearing at 10 from an injury. He took to reading lips faster than signing. I'm pretty good at reading lips. I used to put in earplugs and pretend to be deaf like him.
Really? What am I saying?
Chase mouthed something. I caught it on the first try, but screwed with him a bit. Not sure. Do it again? Again, his lips moved. This time, he'd over-accentuated each word, but he'd mouthed, "You should come home with me." Clear as day. "Sorry, guess I'm rusty," I smirked. Chase bent his head back in laughter, and his throat vibrated. God, that Adam's apple really works for me. The damn thing was taunting me, jumping around, showing off. I needed to get the hell out of the bar before I did something I'd regret for a multitude of reasons. Finishing my drink, I stood. I should get going. It's late, and I like to get to the office early to make a good impression with the boss.
Pretty sure you've already done that.
Good night, Chase.
Night, Buttercup.
Chapter 12. Reese.
Saturday morning, I woke up feeling anxious. Not anxious in a nervous sort of way. It was more like the type of anxious I'd get for a date I was looking forward to. Only it wasn't a date. I was working. On a Saturday. After going for a run to try to shake off my anticipation, I took a cool shower to clear my head. I let the water sluice over my shoulders and closed my eyes as I hummed. While humming had always been something I did to soothe myself, to soothe Owen. When I realized I was humming Kylie Minogue's Can't Get You Out of My Head, my eyes sprang open. Of course, they landed on one of the half-dozen Parker products that now filled my shower and bathroom. I truly could not get the man out of my mind, as he was all around me. In my thoughts, at work, in my shower. The small purple canister of Divine Scrub peeked out from behind my shampoo, catching my eye. I thought it was possible there was some deeper meaning. Divine Scrub. Scrub away dead skin. Scrub away thoughts of the man. I scrubbed my body for nearly 15 minutes, trying to rid my mind of Chase. The new body scrub supposedly not only scraped away dead skin, but also included some chemical compound that regenerated new skin. When I was done and drying off, I was pissed that my skin felt incredibly soft instead of raw and cleansed of what I was trying to get rid of.
I threw a short, silky robe over my naked body, left it untied, and went to my bedroom for some lotion to rub into my new baby-soft skin. My vibrator was tucked away in the back of my nightstand, where I also kept my favorite skin oil. Putting my hand on it, I considered getting myself off. Could I do that? Would it work to get Chase out of my system? Maybe that was exactly what I needed. It had been a long time since I'd been with a man, probably close to 8 months now. I was getting myself all worked up over a good-looking man because of my pent-up sexual frustrations. Yeah, that was probably it. But why wasn't I desperate to chase my orgasm with thoughts of Bryant in my head? Bryant was good-looking, and sweet, and nice, and wanted me. And isn't my damn boss. Letting my robe fall open, I slipped my battery-operated man from my drawer and laid back on my bed, shutting my eyes. Bryant. Bryant. Think of Bryant. A vision of Chase the day I ran into him at the gym popped into my head. God, he is gorgeous. No, what are you doing? Bryant. Think of Bryant. Bryant, Bryant, Bryant. Bryant, who bought me flowers last week for no reason other than to make me smile. Bryant, who texts me sweet little messages. Thinking of you. Hope to see you soon. How is your pussy doing? Wait, no. That last one was Chase. Who texts that sentence to a woman even if he was talking about a cat? And why the hell do I like it when he does? Bryant. Chase. Bryant. Chase. The soft hum of my vibrator relaxed me as I closed my eyes. Bryant. Bryant. Think of Bryant. Water dripping from Chase's hard peck. That V, that deep, carved V. Pierced nipple. Stop it. Bryant. Chase. Bryant. Chase. 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 I groaned, frustrated with my mind as I lowered my hand down my body. I needed to stop thinking about the man, rid my system of dirty thoughts of my boss. I tried everything else. Why not try to coax him from my system? After all, at least this method was more fun. Chase's building was a 3-story brownstone. I had assumed he'd live in a sleek high-rise with a doorman, maybe even a penthouse. But when I walked down his beautiful tree-lined street, the neighborhood somehow fit him better. Nothing with that man was what I'd expect. Steep stairs climbed from the street level up to an almost second-story entry. The front door was massive. It had to be at least 15 feet high with thick, leaded glass and dark mahogany wood. 3 buzzers lined up next to each other inside the archway of the door, but only one was labeled. Parker. I took a deep breath, buzzed, and waited. After a few minutes, I buzzed a second time. When no one came to the door, I looked at my watch. 11:03. I was early, but only by a hair. More time went by, and it became clear no one was home. Retreating a few steps down the stairs, I checked the house number, which was set into the back of the 3rd from the top stair. 329. I was definitely at the right house. Maybe I'm hitting the wrong buzzer? I pressed the one to the right of the one marked Parker and waited some more. Still, nothing. Pulling my phone from my purse, I scrolled through my emails to find the one Josh's secretary had sent so I could double-check the address, even though I was positive I was right. I remember thinking it was a pretty big coincidence that Chase's house number was the same as my apartment number. 329. Opening the email, I verified I was definitely at the right address. But then I saw the problem. The email read, "Dress comfortably, come hungry, and bring only your creativity. See you at 1!" Exclamation point. Shit. I had looked at it too fast the first time and mistakenly read the 1 with an exclamation point as an 11. I was 2 hours early. No wonder no one was here yet. I'd made it halfway back down the stairs when I heard the clank of a lock behind me. Glancing back as the door opened, I froze mid-step at the sight of Chase wearing only a towel wrapped around his waist. No, really, I can go. I have errands I've been avoiding forever, and it was my screw-up. I'm 2 hours early, and I'm sure you have things to do. Chase had insisted I come inside. He put his hands on my shoulders.
You're staying. I'm going to go upstairs and get dressed, and then I'll make us something to eat.
He motioned to a huge living room off to the left.
Make yourself comfortable. I'll be down in a few.
I nodded and did my best not to check him out. But he was only in a towel, for God's sake, and a girl only has so much discipline. Against my better judgment, I did a quick scan of his chest. When I caught sight of a noticeable bulge in that area of his towel, my eyes lingered and Chase noticed. He arched an eyebrow.
Unless you'd like me to stay this way.
Embarrassed, I shook my head and walked into the living room to hide my blush. I thought I heard him chuckle as he went up the stairs. While he was gone, I took the opportunity to check out the living room. There was a huge fireplace with a mantle above it. A few framed pictures were displayed, and I lifted each one to take a closer look. Chase and what must have been his parents at his college graduation. They beamed proudly, and he wore his signature messy hair and a crooked grin. There were a few other family photos, and a photo of him with the mayor. But the picture on the end of the shelf stole my heart. It was a sonogram dated 2 weeks earlier, bearing the patient's name, Anna Parker Flynn. He complained about his sister to me at happy hour, yet framed her baby-to-be photo. Behind the couch was an alcove with the tallest windows I'd ever seen, at least 9 feet in height. And they started 2 or 3 feet off the ground. The glass had colorful leaded panels and lights streamed in, beaming a kaleidoscope prism of colors across the room. Beneath the windows were built-in bookshelves. I checked out the titles. You can tell a lot about a person by what they read. Steve Jobs, American Genius, Stephen King, David Baldacci, a few classics, and Our Endangered Values, America's Moral Crisis by Jimmy Carter. Huh? Now dressed, Chase came into the room and groaned when his cell phone immediately rang. He apologized, saying he needed to take an overseas call. I really didn't mind. I'd intruded, 2 hours early, and snooping at glimpses of his private life was fascinating to me. He was barking at someone on the phone from the other room when I picked up an old, beat-up Gibson acoustic guitar that was leaning against the corner of the alcove. I strummed, lightly, and the sound brought back old memories. Owen and I used to have the same guitar when we were kids. Instinctively, my fingers began to press down on the chords to Blackbird as I strummed. It had been years since I played, yet it still flowed from my memory with ease. When I was done, I found Chase standing in the archway, watching me. His face, which was usually easy to read, was impassive, stern almost. He just stood there, staring at me. Maybe I'd overstepped my bounds by picking it up. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have touched it. I gently placed the guitar back where I'd found it, leaning in the corner.
It's fine.
He turned abruptly and walked out of the room.
I opened my mouth to call after him, but could find nothing to say. When he came back a few minutes later, he smiled, but still wasn't his usual flirty self.
Come on, I'll make us a bite to eat.
I followed him into the kitchen. The historic architecture of the brownstone had been carefully maintained, yet the entire kitchen was stocked with high-end, modern appliances and granite.